This is the PropTech VC Podcast. We give you unique insights into how innovative technologies are disrupting real estate. We interview top entrepreneurs, investors, and knowledgeable experts to share the inside scoop in this fast-moving industry. It's hosted by leading PropTech VC, Zane Jaffer. Let's dive into today's content.
And this is a very common mistake for founders where they go right at the jugular, where there's, your large competitors are going to be protecting that territory and they've got that locked down. So finding your niche is very important. And in your case, you how would you describe the niche? You said Elon Musk is going after sort of the rural areas with, you know, the whole Starlink stuff. You've got the traditional ISPs going after the densely populated, heavy urban areas in you know, tier one places. You're going after the outer areas, like the boroughs and the, you know, secondary markets, right? So yep. That's very important, because what will happen is large competitors will sort of ignore that part of the market. It won't even rise up to the level of executive awareness. When they're talking about churn, they're looking at their core markets, right? And they always believe, you know, the 20% of those accounts that generate 80% of the revenue, that's where a lot of the focus is for the large players. And then, you know, building out like the mass after that. And they just get the mass because they have the head. Your chance is to go after the areas that no one's taking care of, and all those customers are likely to have problems. They're not going to have the best service. They can't get through to the big anonymous master company. And frankly, no one cares if that account is lost, you know? Whereas for you, that account is your start. And I think the idea is you capture that segment and you just wow that segment with a very clear offering, and it has to be 10 times better, right? Then you can graduate upwards. Too many founders go straight for the jugular. Look, you might think of mass market products, like let's say Instagram. Instagram didn't start, you know, as a mass product. It started as a platform for people that love photography and, you know, wanted to capture that essence. So every great company needs to start with a focus and a niche.
Yeah. And it's interesting, you know, I think, you know, whether or not we're in Manhattan 5 years from now, I don't know. I could see a world in which, you know, sure, we work with a partner and they're large enough that we get an opportunity to go into their portfolio. But from a sales perspective, we are not talking to anyone in Manhattan. Right. I think Far Rockaway is much more interesting than anything in Manhattan today, because also if I go to Far Rockaway, I'm either the second or a third provider in a building. Right. If I go to Manhattan, there is, in my apartment building alone where I'm sitting right now, I wish I could be an Andrina customer, but alas, I have the option of Verizon, Spectrum, Optimum, RCN. And then if I was in a luxury building or another building in Manhattan, I might also see Starry, I might also see Honest. So upwards of six providers in a building, no thank you, right? I'm never going to be able to get the, you know, 40, 50% penetration that we see today in other markets.
So you know, in an earlier segment, you talked about how much infrastructure the large players have sunk into things and how they're sort of married to their infrastructure. The sunk cost fallacy is very true. What is the breakthrough technology that Andrina is building on? And in relation to that, maybe share any wisdom you have about competing with companies who are still focused on legacy and sunk costs, and how focusing on breakthrough allows you to sort of do things they can't do.
So, I mean, the vast majority of hardware we use is still off-the-shelf hardware, but we focus on purchasing hardware that was developed not with the urban market in mind. So wireless hardware really got its advent for the rural markets, right, where it's too expensive to run coax cable 50 miles to a farm, but we know that we can send a, you know, high density internet beam, for lack of a better term, right, through the airwaves, and then there's a receiver on the other side that can then provide someone with it local connectivity. And so, you know, that's something that's, you know, kind of that hardware has been going nuts. It's incredible stuff. And there's a bunch of different major providers in that space, and we pick and choose who we buy hardware from. But by using someone else's hardware, A, we don't have to, like, you know, reinvent the wheel. When you're trying to do an infrastructure play, you're already reinventing the wheel as is. So I think, you know, that gives us the advantage where someone's spent decades developing this technology. But where we're at right now, why this is the most interesting time for it is, you know, now I know that I can move with one radio link, 10 gigs of internet, 5 miles through the air without any issue. Without rain fade, without clouds getting in the way, none of that, right? And that just opens up a world of possibilities where I don't need to be relying upon kind of this legacy infrastructure where you have to wait for permits, right? So like when you're getting pull permits, they generally take about 6 months because it's 3 months of permitting with the local government. And then there's 3 months of permitting because Verizon generally is the one who controls the telco space on the mast, on the pole. And they have to let you on if you do things right, but they have up to 3 months to let you on. So guess what? On day 90 is when you hear from them that you're able to go on that pole. So by being able to circumvent that process, it kind of gives you that speed to market. And I think, you know, that's something as I kind of look at what we've done with Andrina. Sure, it's quite complex, but as I think about any startup, the number one advantage they have is speed, right? You're a small team, you can iterate, you can easily tell when things are broken or when things aren't working. Now, you don't necessarily know what the solution is 100% of the time, but perhaps you've gained some data that can continue to steer you in the right direction. And that's what I say is, you know, not every startup goes through a major pivot, but every startup goes through like little pivots in developing what you're doing. And that's just the nature of the business. And you have to have that flexibility, I think, to succeed at kind of all stages of your business, right? Even as you begin to lose that flexibility, and that's the nature of the beast, unfortunately, right? Bureaucracy finds its way in everywhere, especially as headcount rises. But how can you, you know, try to avoid that for as long as possible is important to maintain.
That's right. And the very nature of competing against Goliath or a massive company isn't to go head on. It's to appreciate that we are different. So why should we try to compete with them on their same terms? You will lose. Don't go after the same customer base. Don't go after the same infrastructure and technology. Instead, do things your way and do them deliberately different so that,
if you think something is broken, doing it the same way that it's broken is not the fix, right? So if, you know, us starting Andrina, if we hate Comcast or whomever it is, right? If we don't appreciate how they do business, why would we then replicate that model, right? If you have this opportunity to start from scratch, you're going to want to start with some different component parts than what they're currently using that doesn't seem to be working, right? And there could be a lot of reasons why they have a low NPS, right? A lot of it's going to come down to how they treat their customers, but that's, you know, that is what's, you know, the issue that is then boiled down there is pervasive in every part of the business, right? If how they treat their customers isn't perhaps the best as it could be, they're going to have that same kind of ideology elsewhere in the business. And
everywhere.
It's going to be reflected. Yeah, it's you know,
cultural issue.
Yeah.
You know, on the opposite side, if you value something like customer service, like an Amazon, it will permeate through every part of the company and product and everything you do as well. It's just profits tend to be the key focus, and when profits are the focus, you slowly start to chip away at things that are needed long term, like great customer service. Or, you know, in some cases, in PropTech specifically, many companies don't fulfill their maintenance obligations. And it's sad, really, how people are taken advantage of.
Interesting. Then, you know, in that perspective, our number one acquisition channel is the property manager, the person who is giving the new resident their leasing packet and their keys, right? That is our number one acquisition channel. So as soon as you lose sight of the importance of maintaining that relationship,
right?
Why are we doing this, guys? Come on, folks. This is, you know, that is our number one path to building this company more rapidly, right? And so we need to maintain that relationship. And, you know, I think that's just, you know, something that can, you know, you can take that same lens and project it everywhere in the business and see the same thing happening.
Yeah. You know, something that is counterintuitive, and I learned this after, I won't say who, but I was speaking to the CEO of a very large financial / bank, okay, many years ago. And they said to me that, you know, we have a lot of regulators in our office. Everything we want to do, there are regulators, you know, who look through everything. So we have to be very careful. And then he said something I didn't expect that caught me so out of sight. And he said, you know what? We love it. The more regulation there is, the more difficult it is for other companies to enter. The very people that want more bureaucracy and want more fines and more costs levied are the largest players, because they realize their ability to deal with bureaucracy is actually a competitive advantage versus a new company coming in. How is a new company going to go and get a, you know, poll permit and wait 6 months and try to work with Verizon? So these large companies have an incentive to make things even more complicated, and you don't realize they're the ones who are actually pushing the regulators to actually, you know, oh, you know, you should make sure that there are more processes to get through. And actually, it helps their business because they're the ones that can get through that process fast.
And this is why tax lawyers are the highest paid lawyers of them all, right? Because they've taken the time to learn the code, right? It's a game for them.
It is a game. So do not engage the enemy on the same battlefield with the same weapons. You have got to play it differently, like you said in an earlier segment. A fly on a, you know, monster's shoulder, right? Don't go getting into a fist fight, or, you know, don't bring a knife to a gunfight, right? So you've got to appreciate you're a startup, you've got a different playbook, and follow that, and eventually you will find a way, you know? And also, like, the niche doesn't have to be sexy.
I mean, it depends who you say it to. To some people, internet is fascinating, right? Other people, it's just a kind of, they view it as an essential good where it has to work 99.99% of the time, right? So, you know, it has to work. It has to work properly. It has to kind of, you know, hit those base level consumer assumptions. But I can do that in many different ways, right? I don't need to be doing it in the same capacity as the, you know, Verizons of the world.
So what other advice do you have for founders listening to this? You know, you bring a very unique perspective here.
It's so much more fun on this side of the table, but holy cow, do I have way more sleepless nights. I don't think, like, when I worked in venture, I don't think I had a single sleepless night. Like, there may be a couple where I lost a deal, right? Where you really wanted to squeeze it on a cap table and it just didn't happen, right? For whatever reason, but probably my fault most of the time. These days, it is never more exciting, never more interesting to be a founder. But boy, there are sleepless nights involved, and that's just the nature of the beast, right? Right?
Are you finding there's more ups than downs, or more downs than ups, or is it fairly balanced?
So I think of it this way, is that building a startup is a series of local minimums and local maximums. But as long as the local maximums are greater than the local minimums, you're going up and to the right. And it's not always necessarily a hockey stick, but if you are going up and to the right, you are doing something right. If you are, it means that you are further, you know, not only just developing product market fit, but then really, you know, you've put your gas on the accelerator and you're doing something right. And so I think, you know, from day one, it's always been a series of local minimums and local maximums. And, you know, those happen on a daily basis. It's just the nature of the beast. But as long as I can, you know, at the end of the week, take a step back, realize that our local maximums have been greater than our local minimums, I can be happy with that, right?